In other words, everybody coming on the same level, forgiving each other, and nobody is above anybody else. It's interesting that it was kept on the 10th day of the month, 5 days before the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it lasted from sunset to sunset. This is a broader phrase than what we sometimes think of as fasting. We think of fasting as abstaining from eating, abstaining from food, not eating. But to afflict means it has to do with more than that. It means to depress, to bestow labor upon, to abase, chasten, to deal hardly with, to deny, to humble. It means to hurt. It means to submit. And so afflicting your souls has more to do than just refraining from food. The Hebrew word souls, we also need to notice, it simply refers to more than the body. We think of not eating and afflicting our body, but it has to do with the mind, the emotions, the total self, as it were. It has to do with more than just the physical thing. And I'm going to say this morning. I haven't shared this interesting thing that I found in my studies, one writer talking about this thought of fasting. And as we think about the total self, the emotions and the mind and everything being a part of this, one of the writers that I was reading some of his writings from on the subject of fasting talked about a partial fast and a whole fast. And anything less, and I just share this, I'm not saying you should try this. If you want to, it's up to you. But anything less than a three-day fast, he called a partial fast. He says that's just a partial fast. The reason he says is if you fast for at least 3 days, your body, your physical body, will cry out for food because we want food. Our body wants food. You will have stomach pains. You will have stomach cramps. And your body is crying out and reminding you that it doesn't have what it wants, what it really needs. It thinks it needs it. But he says after 3 days, your physical body quits crying out. Your hunger pains will leave. Your physical body will start relaxing and it will tell itself you're not getting what you want, what you're craving for. And that is when your emotions and your spirit and the rest of this makeup that I'm talking about can really start seeing the things of God and connecting with God. And God can work through the spiritual realms in our body in a way that he couldn't before. It's very interesting to me to think about that. It connects, it makes sense. I have never tried fasting for 3 days. I don't know if I would have the courage or the strength to do that. I would love to try that, I'll say that. But that's an interesting thought. He says anything less than that is a partial fast. Well, when I think about that, I have to wonder if we do justice in our fasting as we relate to fasting. Just think about that. I'd like for us to look at Isaiah chapter 58 yet. I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at this thought of afflicting our souls and what all it means. But in Isaiah chapter 58, we have an interesting account. We have the children of Israel here failing, and we'll just break in verse 3. Here they have fasted, and they come to God, and they're asking the question in verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted?" say they, "and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high." And then he says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul, Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this in a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? And so we have two sides of this. We have a people who is saying, well, we fasted, and why don't you take notice to our fasting? Well, the problem was they were just as covetous, just as proud, just as arrogant as what they had been. They weren't fasting in the way that God wanted them to fast. The humility, the brokenness, the humbleness that I was talking about earlier was not there. God says the fast that I have chosen is to let go, to forgive others, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. That's the fast that I have chosen. But the reason God wasn't taking notice to their fast was because they hadn't done those things. And so there's two principles that I want us to notice from this. Sitting in sackcloth and ashes further afflicts the body. It further afflicts our minds, our emotions, with physical discomfort and brings about the expression of humility and mourning. And that's why you read so many times that individuals in the Old Testament, when they were grieving, when they were sorry for sins, they sat in sackcloth and ashes. In fact, sackcloth was oftentimes what was considered sackcloth was simply black goat skin, which is a material that is very coarse and very rough and very uncomfortable. You put that and ashes together, and you can see that it was a description of mourning and being sorrowful. So it's an expression of further afflicting more than just the physical body, is what I'm saying. It starts afflicting the emotions and all that. Now, the second principle that I see here that I want, and I already pointed that out, is the fact that it must be done with a right heart. It must be done with a right attitude, right motives, right attitudes. See, they were charging God with injustice and partiality. You don't take notice to what we're doing. Well, my point is this. Fasting is a voluntary religious exercise that requires abstaining from things lawful in times of crucial needs. In other words, when there are things in our life that we consider to be crucial needs, things that burden us and that we want God's will and God's direction, fasting is an expression of giving up what our body cries out for, what this physical body cries out for, to cry out to God, God, this is more important to us than eating. It's a form of self-denial is what it is, to ascertain from the will of God concerning God's interests, God's will, the highest interests of his kingdom. You see, fasting is a personal discipline designed to enable one to come into that deep and vital communication with God that I was talking about. It's an expression of that. Prayer and fasting indicate faith, discipline, humility before God, without which really there can be no hope of success on our part, and unless we come to that place. It's a place we need to come to many, many times. So this morning, what are some purposes for fasting? I'd like to look at some reasons why we fast. We've laid some basis for fasting. In fact, before I do that, maybe we should look at just a few New Testament scriptures. Jesus himself fasted. We have the account in Luke where Jesus was tempted of the devil. It tells us that for 40 days he didn't eat, he fasted. And I'm impressed with that, because if Jesus felt like he needed to fast, do we not as God's servants face situations in our lives when we should be fasting? If the Spirit-filled, as it were, Son of God was led to fast, surely it must be needful at times for us today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Let's Just a few other things I'd like to teach us this morning in relation to fasting. Yet in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, we have the disciples of John coming here. In verse 14, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bridegroom, a bright chamber, mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." What was Jesus trying to teach them? I think Jesus was trying to teach them and us today that now is the time to fast, not sometime in the future. The reason I bring this in, I know how it is to discipline ourselves in fasting, and we can tell ourselves, well, sometime. And the time to fast is when we have things in our life that we can't find answers to, burdens that we carry for situations in life that it seems like God's just being silent in them. Let's fall on our knees and let's fast. The time to do it is now. The bridegroom will be returning. He's not here right now, but I believe he wants us to reach out to him. Just turn back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 through verse 18. We have some more teaching. Here again, the words of Jesus. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So here we have some teaching on how to fast, and it's the same teaching we find on prayer. Enter into thy closet. Do it privately. Do it without making a big scene. Do it without telling people, "Well, I can't eat right now because I'm fasting." And one of the congregations that I preached this, a brother came to me afterward, and he said, here some time ago, he was in a home, and they served a meal, and he said he noticed that a number of the family members, he said, didn't eat. But he said there was no scene made about it. He said they sat there, and they visited with us, and we had a good time together around the table, but he said they didn't eat. And he said, later I found that they were actually fasting. And so there was no fuss made about it, nothing said. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us here. Don't go around telling everybody about it. This is a secret thing between your heart and the heart of God. And just do it quietly. Do it in secret. God's going to take notice. Well, there's many more scriptures we could look at that teach us on the subject of fasting. I'd just like to say yet, before we look at some reasons to fast, the early church, we go to Acts. We have scriptures in Acts, especially in Acts 14. It tells us that when they had ordained elders in every church, they had prayer and fasting. And then they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed, and they sent them out to preach the gospel. And I think that those are times when a congregation ought to be praying and fasting in times of ordination, in times of church work, reaching out, church planning, whatever it is. I think we ought to be praying about those things and taking it serious enough that fasting is a part of those experiences. So what are some purposes for fasting? There are many. But I'd like to say this before I give you about 6 points I've jotted down that I believe are purposes. Like all other divinely approved disciplines and practices, the motive for our purpose for fasting determines the value and the effect. And I just want you to remember that. It's like anything else. The motive behind it needs to be the right motive. We need to want God's will. Fasting becomes a very powerful and very profitable exercise, I believe, if we have proper motives, if our hearts are really there. So what are some of them? The first one that came to my mind is simply this: to glorify God. We're here as servants to serve God, to be his servants on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33 says that everything that we do, we are to do to the glory of God. That is all inclusive in life. I believe that's our businesses, our everything that we get involved in. We are to, first of all, keep in mind that we are here to serve and we're here to glorify God. And so when do we fast to the glory of God would be the next question. I'd like to say this in relation to that. I believe it's when the purpose helps us as servants of God, as people of God, when the purpose of fasting helps us to find his will, to fulfill his will. You see, God has plans. I said the other Sunday that God doesn't have problems. He just has plans, and that's right. We have plans too, don't we? But so many times our plans are different than God's plans, and we want God's plans. And so we fast to find out his will. The purpose helps us to fulfill his will, to do his work, to promote his cause and his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a part of the Lord's Prayer. We pray that prayer. Do you really realize what you're saying? When you pray that prayer, you're saying, God, not my will, but your will. You have plans. You have a purpose for things. Just help me fit into that. And when I say help me fit into that, we don't know what God's going to do with us because we don't know what part of that plan God's going to plan us into. But you see, fasting is a very powerful and a very profitable exercise when we can approach it in this way. And the purpose is to glorify God. You see, for God to see and reward our fasting, it must be done for his glory. Remember the account back in Isaiah, wherefore have we fasted and you don't take notice? It's because their personal agenda was still in place, is why it was. It was for selfish reasons. And as long as it's self on the throne, as long as we're not ready to really humble ourselves and ready to really humiliate ourselves and fall prostrate at his feet, as it were, and give ourselves completely over to God, it won't be to the glory of God. And so I believe this morning it needs to be to the glory of God. Secondly, fasting is to aid us in prayer. We already looked at that, but prayer and fasting go hand in hand throughout the scripture. I just like for you to think about it in this way. I like to think of it like this. With prayer, we reach out to God. We come into our prayer closets and we reach out to God for the spiritual, for the eternal things, the things that take faith, the things that are out of our reach, out of our control. Things like was mentioned this morning, we can't see it, but we reach out to it. That's prayer, we do that. And with fasting, we release the earthly, the temporal. We let go of things. First of all, when we fast, we let go of food. We tell our body that you just can't have everything you want. There's things that are more important to me right now. And so we release from the earthly and the temporal things with fasting and with prayer. We reach out by faith. And I believe these two things are vital to our Christian experience. I'll just say it that way. We must exercise an active relationship with God, and we must keep ourselves from becoming entangled with the earthly, temporal things here. You see, when that happens, it's this process that I believe this man that was saying a three-day fast starts doing to you. What starts happening is that it will help you to sharpen your spiritual perception about things. It will help us to start thinking differently. And spiritual things will become our food and our value and what we live on. And the physical takes a back seat. And so when all that starts happening, it's an aid to prayer is what it is. God sees our faith backed up with action. God sees that There's things we're ready to deny because of our faith in him. Thirdly, I believe our flesh must learn the painful lesson that it may not have its own way. That's a lesson in life that we must learn in all of life. But it's a hard lesson. It's a lesson that we cringe from. It's a lesson that our flesh cries out against. But our flesh must learn the painful lesson that it may not have its own way. And fasting is one such discipline. It implies that the spiritual needs are more important than the physical needs. It implies that our focus is going to be on the spiritual need. You see, without this focus, without the focus on the spiritual need, fasting really isn't anything more than a weight loss program. That's all it's going to amount to. If we don't do it for the right reasons, if we don't have spiritual focus in it, you can fast and you'll do just like those people did back there in Isaiah. You'll cry out to God. But it's nothing more than a weight loss program, I believe, is what it ends up being. And so let's understand it in that way and let's use it in its proper way. Fourthly, I believe that proper fasting is a secret appeal to our Heavenly Father. We looked at those verses back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, especially there. But it is an occasion to determine more clearly the will of God. And again, I'm going to say it should be done in secret rather than in display, because God has promised when he sees our hearts really in tune to find his will, to find his way, to find his purpose, his promise is that he will reward us. The reward will come from the Father. He will open up. He will show us the way. And I know that, again, this thought of God's timing and our timing is different. So many times we want answers now. God says wait sometimes. And we may pray and we may fast and we may make these secret appeals and it may seem like God is silent. But don't let that discourage you, because remember that God's timing is different than our timing. God in his own way, in his own timing, and in the right timing, he will bring about his purposes, I believe. Number five, fasting is also one way to express our desire to be pure in heart. James chapter 4 talks, let's just turn back to the book of James. James 4, verse 8, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Does that sound like fasting? Does that sound like afflicting our souls? Does it sound like dying to self and laying our all on the altar? Take life serious, draw nigh to God, cleanse your hands, be free from sin, purify your hearts, quit being a double-minded people, think the way God wants you to think, humble yourselves in the sight of God. And the promise is that God's going to lift us up. God is going to respond. He's going to reward. And so fasting is an expression of a pure heart, pure motives. We know this morning that a pure heart is a humble heart as well. It's one that's going to lay itself on the altar, as it were. Sixthly, I believe that fasting, prayer and fasting go hand in hand, and I believe that fasting is an aid to our service. By nurturing our faith, for one thing, I believe that when we come to the place where we can give our all to God and say, Lord, we're going to deny our body of these physical things. We're going to acknowledge that we want your will in our life. You see, it's a way of exercising faith. We become Christians as we exercise faith, right? We exercise faith and it helps us to to get on the journey in our Christian experience, as it were. We also maintain our relationship with God and fulfill His will by exercising our faith. And so prayer and fasting is an exercise of that faith. Now, having said that, I'd like to say this. Fasting will not create faith. If you lack faith, don't think that going and starting to fast is going to create faith. But it can encourage faith, I believe. It will encourage faith. It will nurture faith. It will deepen our faith. Because God has promised that when we fast with the right motives, that He's going to respond. And when we see that response coming forth, it's going to nurture our faith. It's going to encourage. It's going to make our faith deeper when we see God acting out. And so I'd like to encourage this morning. I want to grow in this area in my own life, and I think it's an ordinance, one of God's ordinances to the church. It's not one of the seven ordinances that we talk about, but it is an ordinance. It's something that requires faith. We act on something that's not tangible, but that we believe in and God has promised. In conclusion, just quickly, three things that I'm going to mention in conclusion this morning. First of all, we fast because Jesus taught us to fast. It's a principle of God's word. God wants us to fast. The teaching is through the entire Bible, and so we fast. We fast, secondly, because we will experience purifying and enabling grace in our lives. I really believe that. I believe prayer and fasting together, prayers enhanced with fasting, and I believe that we will experience purifying and enabling grace when we fall before God with a right attitude and cry out to Him. Thirdly, we fast unto God because we believe that He alone is able to meet those mountains. He said they will be removed. They can be removed. It's through the power of God that they can and should and will be removed. It's His desire to do that. I'd like to close with the last verse of Isaiah chapter 58. This is the account we looked at earlier, a few verses. He goes on through the rest of the chapter, and he tells us what's going to happen when there's proper motives of right ways of fasting. But in verse 14, he just kind of sums it up. He says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." A beautiful promise to us. When we fast, when we do the will of God, when we live each day the way God wants us to, and we turn life over to Him, He has promised that He will cause us to ride upon the high places, the beautiful things of life. And He has spoken it. He has promised us that. May God bless you as you consider this subject. I hope that just a little bit of it, somewhere along the way, there's some inspiration for each of us to just put more effort into prayer and fasting, especially in the difficulties of life. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.